The Bells Beneath St. Michael's. My name is Jasper Jazz Blackwell. Most folks in Charleston know me as Pastor Blackwell of Spirit Song Fellowship. They come to me when their marriages are cracking, when their children are lost, when grief sits too heavy on the chest. Other folks know me as a licensed private detective. They come to me when the truth has been buried too deep for prayer alone. That night, the bells at St. Michael's rang at 11:47. Not once, three times. The sound rolled over Broad Street like thunder wearing a collar. It shook rain from the iron balconies, scattered tourists from the cobblestones, and sent pigeons rising out of the church steeple like dark thoughts. Problem was, St. Michael's bell tower had been locked since evening rehearsal, and the boy who had the key was missing. Detective Mia Sanchez was already at the church when I arrived, dark blazer. Damp hair, gold shield catching the streetlight. She looked like the kind of woman who had slept 3 hours and trusted none of them. "Caleb Price," she said, handing me a photo. 16, choir boy, last seen leaving rehearsal at 9:10. The photo showed a thin black teenager with solemn eyes, a white choir robe, and a smile that looked borrowed. Family? Mother's inside praying herself empty, father's outside threatening lawsuits. Grief comes in different accents. Mia gave me a look. "You always this poetic at midnight? Only when churches start screaming," she handed me her phone. Caleb sent this to his mother 15 minutes before he vanished. The recording crackled. At first there was only wind, then breathing, fast, young, terrified. A bell groaned somewhere overhead. Then Caleb whispered, "He buried her where the bells can hear." The recording ended with a thud. For a second, even the rain seemed to hold its breath. Inside, St. Michael smelled of candle wax, old wood, wet wool, and fear. Reverend Thomas Vale stood near the altar, silver hair combed neatly, hands folded so tight his knuckles had gone bloodless. He had the smooth sorrow of a man who had practiced it in mirrors. "Pastor Blackwell," he said, "I wish we were meeting under better circumstances." "Folks usually do." His smile flinched. Mia stepped in. "Who had access to the bell tower?" "The sexton, myself, Caleb, occasionally. He helped after rehearsal." "Anyone else?" I asked. "No." That no came too fast. At the front pew, Caleb's mother, Denise Price, rocked forward and back with a Bible pressed to her mouth. Her husband, Roland, paced near the side aisle, expensive shoes striking the floor like a gavel. "This church is responsible," Roland snapped. "My son disappears from your building, and all of you stand around whispering like mourners." I looked at him. "You and Caleb close?" His face tightened. "I'm his father." "That wasn't what I asked." Mia hid the smallest smile. Roland stepped toward me. "You got something to say, Reverend?" "Not yet." The bell tower stairs were narrow, old, and steep enough to make a man confess by the third landing. Mia followed me up with her flashlight cutting through dust. The higher we climbed, the colder the air got. At the top, the bell sat in shadow, green bronze and massive, suspended above the city like judgment waiting on a rope. "Door was locked when patrol came," Mia said. "No forced entry." "Caleb had a key." "Then where is he?" I didn't answer. Near the west wall, I found a dark smear on the floorboards. Blood. Not much. Enough. Mia crouched beside me. Fresh. A few feet away, the dust had been disturbed around three planks. Someone had pulled them up recently and put them back badly. I took out my pocket knife. Mia raised an eyebrow. "Pastor carries a blade?" "Jesus told Peter to put his sword away. He didn't say Peter was wrong to own one." "Your theology gives me headaches. That's how you know it's working." The boards groaned loose. Underneath lay a rusted tin box. Inside, a child's yellow hair ribbon, a cracked locket, a Polaroid of a girl standing in the church courtyard, and an old newspaper clipping. "Girl dies in fall behind St. Michael's, 1994. Name, Hannah Bell." My hand froze. Mia noticed. She always did. "You know her?" "No. But I knew the case. Not from the papers, from my father's handwriting. My father, Detective Ezekiel Blackwell, had kept a private notebook before he disappeared. Most of it was homicide notes, witness names, fragments of cases that never sat right with him. One line had haunted me since I was 9 years old. "Hannah Bell did not fall. Ask why the bells rang twice." I had never known what it meant. Until now. Mia watched my face. "Jazz." "My father looked into this." "The father who vanished?" "Same one." The bell above us creaked, slow and heavy. For a moment, I felt 9 years old again, waiting on a man who never came home. Then my phone buzzed. Unknown number, I answered. A voice whispered, distorted and low. Walk away, Pastor. I looked out through the bell tower louvers at Charleston shining wet below us. People keep telling me that, I said. Makes walking feel disrespectful. You dig up Hannah Bell, you bury Caleb Price. The line went dead. Mia was already moving. Trace, burner. Then we move faster. Downstairs, Reverend Vale claimed he knew nothing about Hannah beyond a tragic accident. Roland Price claimed Caleb had been emotional lately. Denise Price said Caleb had found something in the choir loft 3 nights ago and had not slept since. 3 stories. 3 lies. Different weights. The sexton Arthur Meeks gave us the first crack. 72, stooped, hands shaking around a paper cup of coffee. I heard Caleb arguing with Reverend Vale, Arthur said. Boy said he found proof. Proof of what? Mia asked. Arthur looked toward the sanctuary doors. Of what happened to Hannah? Before he could say more, Roland Price stormed in. This is nonsense, Roland said. My son is missing, and you're interrogating old men about dead girls? I watched him. His anger was loud, but his eyes kept sliding to the bell tower stairs. You knew Hannah Bell, I said. The room changed. Roland's jaw clenched. Everybody knew Hannah. That wasn't what I said. He stepped close. Careful, Pastor. I smiled faintly. I'm always careful. It's the guilty who trip. Mia got the call 10 minutes later. A patrol unit had found Caleb's choir robe stuffed behind a crypt in the cemetery. Blood on the sleeve, mud on the hem. Denise Price broke. Roland did not. That told me something. Rain fell harder as we moved through the cemetery behind St. Michael's. Spanish moss dragged across the live oaks like mourning veils. The old stones leaned in the dark, names softened by time and salt air. My flashlight passed over angels, crosses, marble lambs. Then I heard it, a knock, faint, metal against wood. Mia heard it too. We followed the sound to the caretaker's shed near the back wall. The padlock was new. Mia drew her weapon. I kicked the door below the latch. Once. Twice. The frame splintered. Caleb Price lay on the floor, wrists bound, mouth taped, eyes wide with the exhausted terror of a boy who had been listening to death breathe outside the door. I pulled the tape from his mouth. He gasped. He killed her. Who? I asked. Caleb swallowed. Judge Whitaker. Mia went still. Amos Whitaker was retired now, but in Charleston, old judges did not retire. They became portraits, plaques, foundations, and threats with good manners. Caleb gripped my sleeve. Hannah was my aunt, my mama's sister. Grandma always said she fell, but I found letters in the choir loft. Reverend Vale hid them. What letters? Hannah wrote that Judge Whitaker touched her. She was going to tell. She was meeting your father. The cemetery tilted beneath me. My father? Caleb nodded, crying now. Detective Blackwell. He told her he'd protect her. The words went into me like a blade. I stood slowly. Mia touched my arm. Jazz, breathe. I am. You don't look like it. Then don't look too close. We found Reverend Vale in the sanctuary before dawn, kneeling beneath the altar. Judge Amos Whitaker stood beside him in a charcoal overcoat, silver cane in one hand, face composed like carved stone. He did not look surprised. That was the arrogance of a man who had spent 30 years being believed. Mia's gun stayed low but ready. Judge Whitaker. He looked at her badge, then at me. Pastor Blackwell, your father was a persistent man. The sanctuary fell silent. I walked toward him, and you were the reason he needed to be. Vale began to weep. I didn't know Amos would kill her. Whitaker's voice sharpened. Thomas. No, Vale said, trembling. No more. He turned to me. Hannah came to me first. She said Judge Whitaker had hurt her. I told Amos because he was a donor, a trustee, a powerful man. I thought he would handle it. He handled it, I said, by throwing a 12-year-old girl from a church wall. Whitaker's eyes cooled. You have nothing but the word of a frightened boy and a weak priest. Reverend, I said, what did my father find? Vale pulled a small envelope from inside his Bible. I kept it because I was a coward, he whispered. Detective Blackwell gave Hannah a recorder. Mia took the envelope. Inside was a microcassette, old, labeled in my father's handwriting. H. Bell, meeting with A.W. Whitaker's hand tightened on his cane. There it was. Not guilt. Fear. Mia looked at him. Judge Amos Whitaker, you're coming with me. He laughed once. Do you understand what you're doing? I stepped close enough for him to smell the rain on my coat. Yes, sir. I'm listening to bells you thought had gone quiet. His face twisted. Your father should have walked away. My father never was much for leaving innocent children behind. For the first time, Whitaker had nothing to say. Outside, dawn crept over Charleston, pale and bruised. Patrol lights washed red and blue across the church walls. Denise Price held Caleb like she was trying to pull him back into childhood. Roland stood apart, shame folded into his silence. He had known enough to fear the truth, not enough to save his son from it. Mia loaded Whitaker into the cruiser. Reverend Vale sat on the church steps, broken beneath the weight of 30 years. I stayed in the cemetery. The bell rang at 6. This time, no one pulled the rope. Maybe it was wind. Maybe old machinery. Maybe God has his own way of calling court to order. I held my father's cassette in my palm and looked up at the steeple. For 30 years, Hannah Bell had waited beneath rumor, money, and holy architecture. For 30 years, my father's last unfinished promise had hung over Charleston. Tonight, it finally rang. God doesn't bury the truth. He reveals it. I just stay long enough to witness it. This case is closed.